Our message this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I just thank you that you are great and that your name is above every name. And God, I pray that this morning that you speak to each and every one of us, God, that your words touch us where we are, that you challenge us, that you encourage us, God, that you draw us out to be more than what we are, God. God, that how we came, we won't leave the same way, God. And I pray that we hear your word for those who are here listening online and those who listen later, God. God, that you would speak to them. And that anything that would pull our mind, our heart away, anything that would distract us, God, that you would take that away now. And God, I pray that my words would just touch hearts, God, that I would speak your words, God. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in that 27th verse, says, "Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. That I show you still, and I will show you still a more excellent way." I've entitled the message, "Your Role in the Local Church." We've been discussing the topic of diversity within unity for the last 2 weeks. While factors such as age, profession, life circumstances, and interests may bring people together, this form of unity does not fully capture the richness of God's wisdom. One does not need to be a Christian to belong to a unified community. However, Jesus has the power to unite individuals who, from a human perspective, might appear to have nothing in common. He brings together people who might otherwise not get along. It is the same love and mission that unite these individuals. The beauty of the church's mutual love lies in the relationship among its diverse members and its unity within that diversity. So how can this diversity manifest in the life of a local church? Diversity can be ethnic. Diversity can span different age groups. Diversity can be socioeconomic backgrounds and political views. Diversity of the church can also be reflected in varying personalities and cultural differences. So how should a church function amidst this diversity? Paul encouraged the Corinthians not to have a narrow focus on their individual personalities, gifts, and roles in the local church. They were a diverse group of people with unique gifts and responsibilities meant to uplift one another and contribute to the growth of God's church. The unity of the church is the work of God and something that we as humans cannot create on our own. To paraphrase Ephesians, Jesus has transformed individuals from differing backgrounds into one body. Through his sacrifice on the cross, he has reconciled all of us to God, making us one body in him. Through Jesus, we now have access to the Father by the same Spirit. We may be diverse individuals with different gifts and roles, but we are all part of one church working together to build God's kingdom. Really, our first point this morning is that we all make up one local church. Verse 27 says, "Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it." It's easy to think of this as the body of Christ as the universal church, okay? That Paul could be referring to churches
worldwide. Now, churches that meet in Africa, churches that are meeting here, churches that are meeting in Montana and other parts of the world. But Paul specifically talking to the Corinthian church, okay? His concerns here are not the universal church, okay? There is diversity and unity within the body of Christ worldwide, that one universal church. But Paul specifically talking to the Corinthians, and he's reminding that you are Christ's body. You are individual members of it, but you all make up one local church. He says, each one of you are different. You come from different backgrounds. They might have been Jews. They might have been Greeks. They might have been from a wealthy family. They might have been from a poor family. They may have had someone who were big supporters of Rome. They may have had people who were not supporters of Rome. And they operated in different giftings, and they had different personalities and different takes on things. He says, but all of this and all of your diversity, you make up one church. So our local church, even here, our local church is made up of diverse people. We have different skin colors. We have different backgrounds. We have different giftings. We have different ways of operating in spiritual gifts. But we also just have different personalities that make each of us unique. So the local church is one body born out of a diverse group of people. And so for the Corinthians, one of the things that they struggled with, okay, is that they were struggling to understand what God's call was them to be the alternative to the community, to the Corinthian city around them. But not only that, they were basically trying to make everyone in the church function in the same gifting and in the same role. Remember, the Corinthians really prize speaking in tongues, okay? And so Paul is saying, no, we make up one body here, but we're diverse people, and we need this diversity, not only of personalities, but we need the diversity of different spiritual gifts. We need the diversity of the different functions and roles. So we all make up one local church. And we're different, and that's okay. It's okay. And now Paul's not talking about that they're different in theology, that they're different in lifestyle, they're different from the world. But his idea is that the diversity in giftings and functions and personalities, but we come together for a common cause in Christ. So it's not like, hey, everything goes, you can believe what you want. That's not what Paul's talking about. But then Paul goes on, verse 28. He says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, and ministrations, various kinds of tongues. This is not meant to be an exhaustive list of all the offices, spiritual offices that may function in a local church. He's not listing every gifting. Spiritual gifting here. He has not mentioned every unique personality type here, but what Paul is saying is we all have a role to play in the local church. We all have a unique role in our local church, not just God's kingdom. Yes, we have a unique role in God's kingdom, but Paul is specifically talking to the Corinthians. He's not talking to the Ephesians. He's not talking to the church universal worldwide. He's talking to the Corinthians, and we can apply to say that, hey, Corinthians, each one of you has a unique role in building up God's church and building up one another. And that's why he says, and yes, so God has appointed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, then there's miracles and gifts of healing, and then there's helps and administration, various kinds of tongues, right? And he's saying that all of these things are for the building up of the local church. And now Paul doesn't mean that he doesn't give this list as It's probably not hierarchical or mentioned in order of importance. So a lot of times we read this, oh, see, Paul mentions apostles first. That makes them the most important. And then he mentions prophets. So they're the second most important. Or he mentions teachers third. Oh, he doesn't mention pastors. That doesn't mean that they're not. Or he doesn't mention evangelists. What he's doing is he's giving this list that really encompasses how the church can be built up. And so he's using different roles and different functions and how they can build a church. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list. But there's different functions are meant to build up God's people in his church. So if you could imagine, okay, what if your body decided it was going to function in all that you're running and you slip, okay? And your body all wanted to go in the same direction, you would slip and get hurt. No, your body will do different things, okay? And your arm may go this way, and your leg may stretch out the opposite direction, and your body may lean forward. And your body's doing all these different things to ensure the different parts are doing these different things to ensure that you don't fall. But if all of it went into the same direction, you would fall, okay? And so this is what Paul's saying, is that there are different functions. And he's reminding them, hey, you can't all just speak in tongues. Later on, he's going to tell them that's a, like, you know, like a clanging cymbal and a noisy gong, right? He's going to tell them that. And he's saying, you need these other gifts. You need these other spiritual gifts to operate. You need these other functions. You just can't have apostles show up, okay? You just can't have prophets show up. Be great if there was a lot of prophets in the church, okay? But then who's going to do the teaching? Who's going to do the building, the exhorting of the church? What happens is you have something that is not how it's intended to be. If you make a cake, you have various types of things. You use flour, you might use baking powder or baking soda, you're going to use sugar, you're going to use other things, you know, depending on the kind of cake that it is. You may put chocolate in there, you may put strawberries, but you're going to do different frostings. Eventually it becomes one cake, okay? But you cannot just make a cake. If you say, well, I'm just going to make a cake and it's all going to be flour, it wouldn't be a very good cake, okay? It wouldn't even form into a cake. You wouldn't enjoy the taste of it. It wouldn't function very well. And in the same way, we need these different giftings, these different people to operate in these different functions to build God's church. So he lists out a couple of these here, okay? Again, I don't think it's meant to be an order of importance. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list. He's just trying to give a list that touches comprehensively to all areas of the church. So he mentions apostles. Okay. Now, historically, an apostle is someone who saw the resurrected Jesus. But we understand that in modern times, that apostles are people who are, in Greek, literally, it means sent one. But these are people who really go and they are do founding of new works. They help build and establish new churches, new ministries, new things for the kingdom of God. So it could be a man or woman sent by God to help initiate and establish church works. He mentions prophet. This is a man or woman, okay? It could be man or woman. You see in scripture, both men and women are prophets, okay? And these are people who are prophesies, which can be foretelling, telling into the future, but it could be speaking God's truth into people's life. If you actually look at the Old Testament, a lot of what the prophets did were just calling people back to be in a right relationship with God. So a lot of times you see people, they want to take on the title or mantle of prophet, and all they want to do is tell people about the future or try to speak in your life and not necessarily call you back to God. It's just one aspect of the church to help build it up, to encourage it. If you're a prophet who only speaks doom and gloom and doesn't build up, you're not really functioning as a New Testament prophet. He mentions teachers, okay? Teacher can be a man or woman, okay? Now, he's not talking about giftings here. There's some people who are gifted teachers. They're just naturally, that is what they naturally do. That's what they naturally flow in. But I think here he's just talking about function. But these are a man or woman who's able to teach God's word and helps people to understand their Christian faith and how to walk that out in a daily life. He mentions miracles, okay? So miracles is when God uses people, okay, to work the miraculous in the community, not for you, not for their individual glory, but again, to build up the church, to strengthen it, to help model to that church so they can be the example to the community around them. Then he has healing, okay, which is separate from miracles. It's interesting. Corinthians, Paul purposely he makes this distinction between miracles and then the gifts of healing. So this would be God brings about, uses people to bring about physical and emotional healing in the community. A lot of times when we hear of healing, okay, and a lot of times in the New Testament, the idea is physical healing, but we also know that there is emotional healing that takes place. And a lot of times, that emotional healing, we almost need that more than the physical healing because that emotional healing, it's like deep-seated. It's like a wound that you can't see, but it affects you greatly, and it will a lot of times hinder you in your relationship with God. And so the God, we need people who can function and move to help people find healing, and that can be both physical and emotional. We need people who are healed emotionally so they can move and walk in God. Now it's interesting. He mentions ones that's not mentioned very often. It says helping, okay? It says then, it just says helps or helping. It is an act of service, okay? It is not a supernatural gift, okay? Now it may be something that there's the inclination inside of you. It was that God-given inclination. God has just kind of wired you that way to have this ministry of help or helping. But it's an act of service, giving to the needs of other, and it can be such as acts of mercy. And a lot of times, this acts of mercy is helping those who are weaker, those who are downtrodden, those who are weaker in the community. You're going to serve into them. A lot of times, we think of helps as people who they're just going to come and serve and do them what they tell. But no, this would be specifically building up the weaker in the community, those who need help. And so it is meeting. This helping is interesting because it's not just even meet. It's not only meeting the spiritual needs of the person, but the physical needs of the person. A lot of times we have people coming to church, and we want to give them Jesus, and they're just like hurting. They're starving physically, and they just need some of their physical needs first so they can actually receive the gospel. Okay, a lot of times people, oh well, we don't do that. It was we're not into the social gospel. But if you look at the Old Testament, you look at the New Testament, the church and the people of Israel is very much concerned about meeting people's physical needs because if your belly's hungry, okay, or if you have some other type of needs, it could be a hindrance to you actually hearing what God is telling you, receiving the gospel. And so we need people who are going to function and have this gift of helping so they can help meet the needs of other people. He talks about God. Well, it's in our Bible, it says administration. This is not a good translation, okay? Is really it's almost the service of guidance. And what that means is God is acting through a person to give wise counsel to the community as a whole. It's not just simply giving people to, going out and giving people wise counsel. Okay. Some people, they have that gifting. Okay. They are wired that way. They're able to give people wise counsel. You just know, hey, if I need some wise counsel, I'm going to speak to someone. That's not what that's talking about. This is an individual who is speaking to the local church as a whole, building them up, giving them guidance, and pointing them into the direction of serving God faithfully. Then interestingly, the thing that Paul is dealing with and he's been dealing with since the beginning of chapter 12 is the various kinds of tongues and its interpretation. Okay. The thing that Paul is addressing to the Corinthians that they love speaking in tongues and they speak in tongues so much that their service is distracted. It's noisy. It just there's a lot going on. And if 50 people showed up in the house, you got 30 of them speaking in tongues, and no one really knows what's going on just because it's a cacophony and it's not how it's supposed to be. And so Paul has to address this issue now. Paul's not saying tongues is bad, but he's saying they have to function in their proper place. And oh, we just can't put so much emphasis on one where we ignore the others. It would be a bit like, you know what? I'm only going to eat chicken from now on. Chicken is great. Chicken can be very healthy. It can be cooked very well in various kinds of ways. But you typically need to have dairy products. You need to have vegetables. You need to have fruit. You need to have grains in your diet. You need to have this holistic diet so you can actually be a healthy individual. And in the same way, the Corinthians, they just wanted to focus in on tongues and almost forgot about these other gifts in the body. Oh, by the way, tongues are unintelligible. No one knew what they were saying. So people might come in from the outside and they're like, whoa, what is all this noise going on here? Now, can you imagine if you didn't grow up in church and you went into a church, particularly a Pentecostal church where people are shouting on and praising God? It seems like a crazy experience. Like, I don't know what's going on. It seems a bit weird to me. This is how the Corinthians, who weren't followers of Jesus, they would have came in to the meeting. It would have seemed very odd to them. It would have seemed foreign to them. Even, in the first century, Christians are accused of all kinds of craziness. They're accused of being atheists. They're accused of eating babies baked in loaves of bread. They're accused of being sexually immoral people who have orgies and all these kind of things. Because not Corinthians, but the Greeks of that time, they don't know what's going on in their church. And when they do come in, it seems weird to them. So they just create these just terrible rumors or and lies about them. So various kinds of tongues, that's when God works through a person to speak a message in an unknown language. But Paul very specifically says there has to be an interpretation, someone there who offers an interpretation if it's going to build up the community. Otherwise, tongues is just building you up. So if there's going to be a message in tongues, or you're going to see, if you got 15 people in church and they're all like praying in tongues and it's loud and it's crazy, no, there probably should be that should back down. And there should be one person who gives a message in tongues and another who comes and interprets it. Because, well, you know what? If I got up and preached in Swahili, no one would know what I was saying this morning unless they grew up and they learned Swahili. There would be nothing edifying for you. And in the same way, Paul says, hey, tongues are great, but there needs to be an interpretation, but make sure that we're using each of our different gifts in their proper place so we can be holistic and build up the community. Verse 28 and 29, Paul, actually 32, okay? Paul says, and God is a, oh, sorry, 29. Are not all apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Paul is asking a series of rhetorical questions that you intuitively know that the answer is no, because all people don't do this in the local church. So Paul's point is we cannot function. We cannot all function in the same roles. We can't all function in the same roles. Not all people have the same functions or giftings in the local church. It's not meant to be that way.
You weren't wired that way. You weren't gifted that way. God didn't create that to do that. Imagine having a football team and everyone showed up and they all wanted to be the quarterback. You wouldn't have no one to block. You wouldn't have no one to have run the ball. You wouldn't have no one to pass to. In the same way in the local church, when we try to function and someone else's function and someone else's role and then someone else's gifting, we are missing out first what we're supposed to do, and we're not allowing them to we're trying to interlope on them with what they're doing, and we're not building up the local church. Sometimes churches, we try to be homogenous in function. We all try to do the same thing. We all try to sound. You see churches where they all try to preach like the pastor and sound like the pastor and move and operate like the pastor. That's not what we're called to do. If people preached and taught like me and tried to sound like me, we would be missing out stuff because there's just things that I miss. There's just emphasis that I don't see. There's giftings that I don't have, and I need other people in the church to operate in these different giftings so our church can be holistic. So, trying to be homogenous and functioning gifting is a hindrance to the local church. We can't all do the same thing. It's not what God didn't even intend to that. God hasn't called us to that. The local church needs diversity of functions and gifts to grow, mature, and to reach the world. Each of us has a role. Each of us has a gift, and each of us has a function. Maybe it's not the one that you think that you want. Maybe it's not the one that seems the neatest or the coolest. But God has still gifted you. He's given you that gifting. He's given you that function. He's allowed you to be wired like that, so it allows you to use that. And so I pray that our church, that we allow people to be who they are in Christ and to operate in their diversity of function, and that they can grow and mature, that we can grow and mature as a church, and we can reach the community around us. Verse 31, Paul's actually setting up for the coming argument. He said, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way." Okay. Verse 31 really references, he's jumping ahead here. Okay. Very Pauline. He's having this complex argument that really goes through the chapters 12 through 14. And when he says desire the greater gifts, what he's talking about is that gifts that are intelligible, gifts that if I speak it, that you can hear it and understand it, so you can be built up. He's not saying that tongues are bad. He's not saying don't practice tongues. But he's saying make sure that if you're going to speak in tongues, that there's an interpreter. Desire gifts that help build up the church, where the Corinthians are just focused, hyper-focused on speaking in tongues and not building up. He says, so desire gifts that help build people up. Desire functions that you move in a way that builds other people up. And he says, I will show you a more excellent way. And really, that I will show you a more excellent way, he's talking about chapter 13, okay? And we'll talk about this when we get to chapter 13. Is that it's interesting. Chapter 13, we love to read in weddings, okay? We love to talk about this as the love chapter. It's probably the most popular and most quoted chapter of all of Corinthians and maybe even the New Testament, because we like to quote it. But if you understand chapter 13 in context, he's talking about spiritual gifts, that the gift that when you operate in love, that all of our giftings, all of our functions, and all that we do as a church should be clothed and bathed. It should be wrapped in love. So that's what he's saying. Well, I will show you a more excellent way. So here's our big idea this morning. Know your role in the local church and let others function in their roles. Know your role in the local church, okay? Know what God has called you to do. Know how God has gifted you. God know how God has wired you, and know that it's going to be different.
How I operate is going to be different than how Jeremiah operates. And that's okay. God has created that for a purpose because each of us brings something to the local church to help build it up, to strengthen it, okay? We may not always see the giftings. We may not always see the functions and how that builds up. But when you're operating it, it will build up the local church and let other people function in their gifting. Let other people function in their calling. Don't try to hinder it. Don't try to change them. Let them be who God has called them to be. Why? Because we need to build up the church. The world around us is going to hell. People are dying. People are broken. People are hurting, and they need the church. The world needs a church desperately. And we need to build one another up that we can be the alternative to the world around us. So here's a question this morning. What is your role and function and gifting in the local church? You may know right offhand, you may know, hey, this is my role in a local church, and this is the function that I'm placed in. And these are the giftings that God has given me to operate in. Okay. You may be like, yeah, I'm not sure. I know I'm supposed to be here. Because when we're not here, that means that one of our function, one of our gifting, it's just not there operating. And it needs to be there. But when you're not in the local church, when you're not participating, it's like someone taking the sugar out of a cake. You take the sugar out of a cake, it ain't going to taste the same. If you take away the eggs, it's not going to taste the same. If you take away the baking powder or baking soda, it's not going to rise, and you're going to have a dense cake that doesn't taste very well. So the church needs you. And if you don't know what your function, your gifting, and your role is, find someone who's spiritual, someone who's mature in Christ. Someone who can help guide you and lead you in that way. The next one is, are you actively building up the local church? Are you just a spectator? Are you just like a fan at a football game? God's not calling you to be a fan at a football game. He's calling you to be active. He's calling you to get on the playing field and be active in the local body, building up the kingdom, building up people. And if you're not actively building up the church, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? If you don't know, find out. If sin has become a hindrance, deal with that. Get with someone. Confess your sin to someone. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another. That you can find freedom. You can find deliverance. That you can start operating. Because when you start operating in your function, in your gifting, in a local church, you're going to find that you mature. Spiritually, you're going to find that you're growing in Christ, that you're going to find a greater fulfillment. So, are you actively building up the local church? So, here's the thing this morning: know your role in the local church, but also let others function in their roles so that we can build up one another together and we can build the church. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you have called each and every one of us to have a role in the local church, that you've crafted us and molded us. God, you knew us before we were in the womb, God. Even while we were there, God, you knew our personalities. You knew how we were wired, God. And you knew that there was a place for us in a local body to use giftings that you've given and functions, God, that we could build up one another. God, whether that's just greeting someone at the door or preaching or teaching, God, whatever it is in between, God, let us find that place. And God, take away the hindrances. God, I ask that you watch over us, that you keep us, that you bless us. And I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.